The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to The Peripheral. I know I missed last month, so I owe you all an episode. I should be putting that out in the next couple of weeks. I also had made an Instagram story saying I was planning on having some big names and maybe a few influencers on The Peripheral this year. For this episode, I speak with Aaron, who was bullied from elementary school well into high school. Aaron wouldn't be able to focus on his studies and his grades would suffer. His parents would transfer him to a private Catholic school in hopes of helping his falling grades, but things would only get worse. I also share details about my childhood and how I dealt with being picked on and how I avoided being bullied by having a friend group where we stood up for each other. You might recognize Aaron's voice from a podcast you all know and love.
Well, typically I tell my guests to introduce themselves and what we're going to talk about. Aaron, I don't know if a lot of people don't know who you are, but go ahead and introduce yourself and what we're going to be discussing.
Well, I'm Aaron, and of course, you probably heard me on Generation Y because I've co-hosted that with Justin since 2012. So you've probably heard my voice many times. And I actually was talking with Justin and he was looking for something different to cover. And I thought, you know what? I'll talk to Justin because we've talked so many times about crime cases and whatnot, but we have never talked about bullying, I don't think. And that's my story.
Yeah. No, I've always skated across different subjects when covering other subjects, but I don't think I've had just a dedicated topic to this. So I know when I was in elementary school, middle school, and even high school, I've had my dealings with getting picked on or bullied, but not to the extent that you have. So yes, let's just jump into it.
And let me give a disclaimer, like I don't go around thinking I had it the worst. But I will say that I have evidence that shows that the bullying affected me in extreme ways. So I think the best way to start is really to just jump into it. So when I was a little guy and I was first going to school, my parents put me in a local public elementary school. And I was there for a couple years. And everything was great. I got really good grades. And I had friends. Most of my friends, though, didn't attend school with me. They were in other schools for some reason. I think it's because I had a friend who was Native American. I don't know where he went to school. I'm not sure how that worked. I also had a friend whose family came from Libya or Syria, one of those two places. It's hard to remember. Actually, I think it was Lebanon. I don't know where he went to school, but these friends of mine were on my block. And I would go down and play with them. So I'm at school and everything's great. Great grades. I have friends at school that are just sort of school friends. But mostly I'm hanging out with one kid. Throughout second grade, something happens. I noticed a lot of the kids were starting to play physical sports instead of just use their imagination. I mean, I used to go to school with a binder full of stickers. And I would sometimes trade stickers with people. Or we would just tell stories or sit around and talk about stuff. And the friend of mine, he was doing all those things too. But, you know, after a few times of people coming over and saying, hey, you want to play kickball or football or whatever, he said, hey, I'm going to go play with them some. That sounds like fun. Do you want to go? And I said, well, not really. You know, I'm not a sports guy. So I didn't feel like doing that. So I didn't. And he became, I know it sounds funny, but he became in second grade. By like mid second grade, he became the most popular kid in my class. I know because everybody wanted to hang out with him. And he didn't talk to me anymore. And it's not because he was a mean guy. He was actually a nice kid. And he continued to be. He just wasn't my friend anymore.
Yeah. He had his own entourage now. He had his new friends, his new circle.
Yeah. And he didn't mistreat me. But it was sometime during second grade where there was a shift. I believe it was a day where one of the kids was like, hey, look at so-and-so over there. Didn't used to be friends with him. And he didn't really want to answer. I was hearing all this go down because I could see everyone watching me. And by everyone, I mean, there were probably 6-7 kids watching me, all boys, right? I could tell he didn't really want to answer that. And they started talking about me. I think I had gotten up and I decided I was going to try and just hang out around everybody, you know, to kind of fit in a little bit. I ended up being circled by everybody and they all started making fun of me. Not my ex-friend, but like pretty much the rest of the group was making fun of me. And I ended up getting hit and going down. And I didn't feel like I had a way to do, I felt powerless, you know? And luckily it was near the end of the school, the recess hour, so, or whatever it was. And everybody dispersed, but that was my introduction to, I'm going to be in trouble at school now. You know, it's just, I was not popular. I was actually looked down upon.
And when you say I'm going to be in trouble at school, it's I'm going to have trouble because I'm going to be targeted. Not that I'm going to be in trouble because I did anything wrong. You're just, you know, that you're having to navigate this hostility.
Yeah. At the time I liked Matchbox cars and I liked telling stories and I liked stickers. And these kids were more, we're going to play sports, you know? So they were essentially the jocks at the time. And then toward the end of the school year, I was feeling really bad. My grades were sliding. My parents said, we think you need to go to a better school. I said, what does that mean? And they said, we want to put you in private school. And so I was thinking, well, sure, why not? Because I think they really did want me to agree. They didn't want to just move me, but they were prepared to. And it was going to cost a lot of money for my parents to put me in this private school. And I thought, well, I need a change. I'll go there. I'll be a new kid. Maybe I'll do better.
Did they know about the bullying or did they just think that the school system was failing you because you weren't doing well, you know, academically, I guess?
Honestly, I don't know that I could say what they knew because it wasn't until third grade, which we'll get into, but third grade where I started trying to tell my parents what was going on.
All right.
So I get to this private school. It's worse. It's literally worse because the entire school is run by nuns. And they do not care if someone hurt your feelings or hit you. They want you to behave. And they'll tell me, it's up to you. You need to comply. You need to be good. You can't go around blaming other people for your problems. Because what would happen was there were several kids in my class who decided that they wanted to pick on me. They would just make jokes about me in front of everybody. It just ended up ramping up. And I would say it really got bad in fifth grade when I was in one class and I was trying to walk to my seat. One of the bullies was in my way and wouldn't let me pass. This is right in front of the teacher's desk, right? The nun. I said, I'm trying to go around. What's the problem? And he punched me in the stomach really hard where I, like all my air went out and I fell to the floor. And so I start to get up and he laughs and he just goes back to his desk or whatever. And I look over at the teacher and I say, hello. And they said, would you sit down, please? We're trying to get my class started or whatever.
You literally were assaulted in front of, you know, what you would consider the authorities and they did nothing. And so now you realize you have no protection. You have nobody that's going to step up for you. You have to fend for yourself. I can only associate this, Aaron, when I was in the military and I was in boot camp and you had drill sergeants screaming and yelling at you and picking on you, but that was their job. But it did foster this whole environment where other soldiers, your people in your platoon, if they wanted to pick on you, it was like now acceptable behavior because you're in this environment, this very hostile environment, and now everyone's becoming hostile because that's the norm. And I feel like you're describing my military experience right now where you can literally be punched in the stomach
in front of the nun, and she's just like, I don't care.
Yeah, I think this was the situation where I'm this skinny kid, and I was really skinny back then, and everybody just saw me as easy pickings because I didn't stand up for myself, and I was waiting for someone else to do it. So it just kept continuing, right? Fifth grade, sixth grade, whatever. I think the only class that I was able to do very well in was spelling, because I've just always been very good at spelling. It was so easy because I read all the time. That's one of the things that got me in trouble. I would show up to school and I would have, say, Salem's Lot by Stephen King in my hands. And the teachers didn't care for it. And the other students made fun of me for it because they're like, oh, who's this weirdo with the horror books?
You're a book nerd, and the nerds get the worst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was a voracious reader. I have a library now. It's filled with horror novels mostly, but also other books like Tom Clancy and some mystery books and some adventure books. But those are just from the time before I got into podcasting, because once we really got podcasting, I didn't have time to read. But anyway, so things come to a head, though, in eighth grade. The bullying is worse than ever. And to give you an idea, like in eighth grade, oftentimes I would be, say, in gym. It just turned out that three of my bullies were in my same gym class.
Oh, God.
One of them liked to grab me by the hand and crank it all the way back and force me to the floor and submit to him. And then, of course, everybody would cheer him on and laugh and everything else. Not everybody in the class, but the boys who were either friends or kind of peripheral friends of them, they would be laughing, making fun of me. The girls in the classes didn't really mess with me so much in terms of picking on me. They would just make comments. I remember a girl telling me in fifth grade that I was a space cadet. So I was just tuned out, I think. You know, I was in my little dream world. I think back to eighth grade, and I know that I had notebooks that I was supposed to be using for school, but I was drawing things in there that were probably very disturbing.
Well, you were into horror movies, you're into scary stuff and reading, and you had a great imagination. So, yeah.
Well, I think it was, and I know science disputes this, but I think we as people try to use our frustrations, you know, we try to use something to let those off, to blow off steam. And I was doing it by doodling in my books, very violent imagery. And I think it was my way of thinking, they're lucky I don't blow up, because that's what I was feeling. Was I was feeling like I wanted to blow up and take him out with me. Not in terms of a school shooting, because back then my family didn't have guns. I didn't think about guns.
And school shootings weren't as popular or whatever. I mean, they happened.
It wasn't prevalent in the minds of the public like they are now. I mean,
before Columbine, before any of that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I'm an older guy, so this is way back in the day. And so I was drawing imagery that was violent, but it was more like swords or knives and things like that. But I wouldn't have done anything in real life. I wouldn't have gone to school with a weapon. I was even more frustrated because I felt like I couldn't do anything to anybody, even if I wanted to. I felt completely powerless, and I felt like I was restrained by my own limits, because I have limits. I don't really want to hurt anybody. And so it came to a head in eighth grade when there was another kid who got bullied all the time. He was very different from me. I'm this skinny kid and he's this big kid. And something happened where he was getting picked on that day more than me. And he turned on me. And I think he was trying to find an outlet for his frustrations. And I mentioned earlier that science would dispute it, because they're finding that through studies that venting, however you do it, doesn't actually help. But what I would say is we as humans do that anyway. So I think this other kid decided, you know what? I'm going to take out all my frustrations, all my anger on Aaron, because we've never talked and I think I can take him. So he ended up confronting me in the doorway to a classroom as I tried to get in, and we got into a fight. And I actually fought back. This is the weird thing, is when it was the bullies who had always been abusive toward me, punching me, twisting my arm, embarrassing me, whatever it was, telling stories about me, I felt powerless. But against this one kid, I felt like it was one person too many. I couldn't do any more. And even though I'd never planned this, I decided I was going to fight back.
He wasn't technically one of the bullies. He had been bullied, and then he turned around to bully you. I mean, there's so many different dynamics happening here, and it just happened to be, I guess, the perfect storm for you to stand up for yourself.
We went to private school, and I remember sitting in the church of that private school because we had to go once a week. I remember sitting there by myself, not talking to anybody, and I remember looking around because I would watch everything, probably just making sure no one was coming up to me. But like, he always sat by himself. He didn't have any friends there. I didn't have any friends there. Not really. So somehow we get into this fight, and I just told myself, when he took a swing at me, I just knew in that instant that I had to swing until he stopped. So he threw a punch at me, and I think it landed, but I literally threw what must have felt like 150 punches on him. And he lost the fight really fast. I mean, I overwhelmed him. And then the teacher came in and was really worked up about it and saying, "You're going to the principal's office, both of you." And so we had to go sit outside the principal's office waiting to go in. And I mean, what do you say? There's nothing to be said, right? I mean,
it just sucks because, you know, at that public school, your grades are dwindling. You're not able to focus on work because you're in a fight or flight mode. Then you have this hope, this, I'm going to a private school now, but it happens to be a Catholic private school where not only are the nuns being very hostile towards you, but it, you know, I personally believe it creates an environment where that hostility is now the norm, is now justified, and they're not there to help you. You know, then you finally get into a fight and you go to the principal's office. And it's always ridiculous to me, Aaron, because I always, you know, the teacher or the principal is going to say, "Okay, tell me what happened." And it's like, why? You're going to punish us both anyways. Stop wasting my time. I've been in that situation, and I literally said that to a school principal.
I didn't feel good. I felt terrible because here it is. I get in a fight. Finally, I stand up for myself. But it's not even to the bullies. It's to this other guy that was in my same spot, really.
It sucks because he's not, I mean, he shouldn't have attacked you, but he's not the enemy. He's not the bad guy in this situation. But if nothing else, he was the moment, the excuse, the reason that you got your confidence, I guess.
We'll put it this way. Something unexpected happened after this, which is the other kids who were my bullies, they continued to bully him. They continued to bully me, but not in the same way. They never touched me again. In fact, they would turn it into a joke and say, "Yeah, don't touch Aaron because he'll beat you up." And they would laugh about it. But they really wouldn't touch me again. They would poke fun at me, especially in the gym. I mean, I was not an athlete. You know, if we're running laps or we're playing kickball, whatever it is, I was not one of the better kids on the team. I was always last picked because I just wasn't athletic. I wasn't into sports. And so they still would pick on me like, "Wow, Aaron fouled up this game again," or whatever, but they wouldn't touch me. That ended. After that, I went to private high school. And once again, I had it in my head that once I went there, I would be around all new people, which I was. I was around all new people because I went to a private high school. It was a ways out from where I lived. So I didn't know anybody there. I get there and I think, okay, I've new moment here. I'll actually try to reach out to people and talk with people and see if I can at least be on good terms with everybody. And it was better. I mean, it was better. I didn't have as many bullies or anything. It was more of a situational thing. It was sports, once again, is where I suffered the most, because if I'm out there playing lacrosse, which, you know, that was rough, I had somebody who I'd kind of known for a while, and he decided to go after me on the lacrosse field. You know, you're talking about cross-checking, where they take their stick and they bash you into the chest or the back and knock you down. One of the other guys, who hadn't been really nice to me in high school at all, he actually stood up for me, and he was calling the guy out for it, you know, These are the two biggest guys on the team. But anyway, things did get better in high school, but the whole elementary school thing from especially third through eighth grade was something that had ruined me educationally because I had started off good. I felt like I could handle everything. And then because of the bullying, I spent more time focused on what was going to happen to me throughout the day than to pay attention to what the teachers were telling me. So my grades were terrible. I mean, I think in eighth grade, I had C's and D's and maybe an A in spelling, you know. But for the most part, I just got terrible grades. And high school was the same. I literally could not focus, even though I wasn't suffering the abuse like I was. It was still affecting me. But then, like I told you, something happened after high school that changed everything for me and kind of made this more of a memory than something that haunts me. And that's because I ended up in a building where two of my bullies were. And they both tried talking to me. They weren't standing with each other because they were actually working at a business. But I was at this place. The one guy who used to really go after me in gym class, he's the one that got physical with me and made me submit and everything. He tried talking to me. He was like, "Oh, hey, Aaron, I haven't seen you in forever. You know, like, hey, how's it going?" And I was thinking to myself, "Are you serious? Like, you caused me so much stress and anxiety. Why would you even talk to me? You know, does he not remember?" And this is the beauty of bullying: is people who bully, they may not remember.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's hard to know because I've never been a bully, so I don't know what it's like. I don't know if you're doing the abusing and the bullying, maybe you don't think about it because it's just something you're doing and then later life changes. But for the person who's being bullied, they never forget. It doesn't matter how they feel later. They're never going to forget those times because all they know is it's kind of like someone ripped your pants down in front of a coliseum of people. That's what would happen on a daily basis to the people who get bullied. They feel embarrassed and they feel like everyone's laughing at them. So I told this guy, I said, "Shut up and do your job," essentially, because I didn't want to talk to him. And he said, "Man, what's your problem?" And I said, "Look, if you want to go out back behind the building, let's do it." I was thinking, "Hey, wait a minute, I'm here now. I'm not the skinny kid I used to be."
No, you're not.
So I thought, even if I lose this fight, because by this time, this guy, he didn't look as intimidating as he used to be, right? Because I was bigger than him by this point. But I thought, let's go out back and then we'll take care of business, because I'm like, this is my chance to finally feel like I have some power back. And the guy wouldn't do it. And so he kind of just shut up and like looked away. And I thought, okay, well, that settles that. I don't have to do anything here. So then I move past him. And then there's the other guy. This is the guy that was kind of like the class comedian, and he would tell all these jokes about me. And I don't think he ever got physical with me, but he was just the one that like destroyed me emotionally. So then I see him and he's like, "Oh, hey, Aaron." Same thing, right? "Man, I haven't seen you in forever." I'm like, "When have we ever been friends? Where do you get this 'I haven't seen you in forever' thing?" He's like, "We used to go to school together." I said, "I know that, and used to torture me." "Well, that was a long time ago." I said, "How about you come out and come over here where I'm at?" "Why do you want me to do that?" I said, "Why don't you come out here so we can talk better?" And so I start getting upset with this guy, and he doesn't know what I'm talking about, or at least he pretends. I don't know. I'm not going to say he knew, because like I said, I'm not a bully. I don't know the way they think. I don't know if all that stuff that they used to do for years, like in my life, it was 5 years of torture. But like for him, that may not be a memory. I don't know. So I basically call him out too, and he won't do it. And I don't know if it's because he's afraid or if it's because that's not who he is. And he's like, "I'm not doing that." or what it is. I could tell by the look on his face that he knew that he'd done something to me, because there's no reason for me to be this mad at him after not seeing him for 4 years. But what it gave me was, it was like, oh, wait a minute. So these guys may have tortured me, but they don't have any power over me. Not anymore. But it was tough, because I look back and I lost so much because of all the bullying. I lost any kind of confidence in myself. I didn't get the grades I should have gotten because I tested well, but I just couldn't do the schooling because I was too worried about what was going to happen to me.
There's a lot more to it. You never really told me too much about the bullying at the time, Aaron. When we first met, I could tell that you were a little timid. I could tell that you were not shy, but just you had boundaries up. And I guess I'm whatever. I just accept everybody and I just hang out with everybody. But even in my circle of friends, I could see people poking fun at, you know, each other and stuff. And like, there was one idiot named John. And I remember he made a joke about you. And from that point forward, I was just like, I don't really want to hang out with this guy anymore, meaning John, because I'm just like, it's, what are you saying? You know, you're saying mean things. Like, we can poke fun at each other because we're friends, but when it just turns into a personal insult, I know I never spoke up and said, don't say that to Aaron, John. I never like made it a public announcement. I just stopped hanging out with him.
Is this the guy that wanted to become a police officer?
No. This was John Baker, who had a drinking problem.
That's funny because I can remember ever since I got out of school, the people I had the most problems with were people who couldn't control their alcohol consumption or their reaction to being under the influence.
Over the years, though, Aaron, I could see things about your personality or your comments that you would make. I have an insight into your life that, you know, I usually don't have with a lot of my guests. I usually don't know people that I interview on the peripheral, but you have said things to me that are, to me, key red flags of he is cautious around people, or he notices how people treat him. The only example I think I can come up with was, I don't remember if it was like my friends or ex-girlfriends or whatever, but one of them, you were like, well, she was always nice to me, so I liked her. And I thought, oh man, like, like, wow, like that breaks my heart hearing that. She was nice to you, so you liked her, because not that any of them were mean to you, but, you know, a lot of times people just don't talk, you know, it's just like, oh, that's your friend Aaron, or that's your friend Justin, you know, and wives and girlfriends or other friends, you know, they're just doing their own thing. But you were like, well, she always took the time to talk to me. And it just weighed heavily on me. I'm like, yeah, because that's all it takes, is just to acknowledge somebody and be kind to them. You know, that's it. And if somebody isn't going to acknowledge you, isn't going to give you the time of day, well, having your background, having the way you've been treated in the past, I mean, even though you can say, you know, I've gained my confidence back, but there are still these residual things in your personality and how you read other people. Like, this person's not going to talk to me or acknowledge me, then I may stay away from them. I may, you know, keep my distance because I don't know if they're friend or foe. I perceive that as being, you know, a characteristic or, you know, some residual issues of if you were bullied as a child, as a kid, as a teenager.
Well, I think some things came out of it or were strengthened by it. So I remember talking to some people one time, and one of them told me that he could sense that I had a lot of empathy and understanding for other people, that I didn't judge other people, you know, like what was common. And I was thinking about this, and I realized that the vast majority of the people that I was ever friends with when I was a kid were people who were probably considered outsiders. You know, I had a Filipino friend, I had a friend from Lebanon, and I had a friend that was Native American. And these were typically people I didn't really see them playing with other people. It was just me.
Well, and yeah, and it's not that you're friends with them because they're
from another country or another race. It's they're the outsiders also.
Right. No, that's what I'm getting at is to me, it was like, oh, it was an opportunity. Someone's kind of in my position and now they want to hang out with me and we're friends and we're playing. And that's where I'm thinking, well, yeah, so I may have been bullied and stuff, but if anybody hears me being empathetic to people on Generation Y or whatever, a lot of this is I would never turn people away who wanted to be friendly with me. They wanted to chat with me. I'm always down for a chat. And I, hey, the more people I get along with, that's great for me because I didn't have that when I was young. So I really appreciate it now.
I don't think you have a malicious bone in your body.
Really. Well, except when I'm driving down the road and someone's, you know, going 15 under and looking at their phone, then I feel a little malicious.
Ultimately, I don't think you would ever go out of your way to be malicious. And even when you said that you got into that physical fight with that one kid, you still felt bad about it. You know, you still felt empathy there because you didn't want to do it. I mean, I know I've been in situations 100 times where I have retaliated, if you will, against somebody and I'd never felt good about it. So I just stopped. I'm like, well, what's the point of responding? Because even if I were to turn around and make this person cry, it doesn't make me feel good. You know, so what's the point? You know, you didn't get off on being mean or wicked to somebody the way these people did.
Well, so another takeaway I have is if you were to have a kid who was experiencing a change in their behavior or their grades and you do talk to them, I mean, you need to listen because I tried telling my parents for years, I don't think anything ever really happened until I got in that fight in eighth grade. And then my mom was very disappointed in me. And my dad was happy for me. He said, Aaron, you should always stand up for yourself. I would never want you to not stand up for yourself. Because my dad was the guy that I remember being a kid and coming home from that elementary school. I think my brother was, I don't know what he was. If he was 10 and I was 7 or something. But we got attacked by a couple of teenagers in their yard. And they started wailing on my brother. And my brother managed to grab one of the guys that was going after me and trip him up a little bit. And he told me to run. Now, one thing I could do was if I was in fear for my life, I would move like lightning. And so I got away and told my dad. And of course, he brought us back over to the house. And by that time, the kids were gone. And my dad beat on that door like he was going to go through it. And I don't know what he told the guy there, but he said something to the effect of, if I ever see your boys in the yard when my boys are walking past again, I will come back and I will beat the hell out of you. Because my brother was beat up pretty good. They never were outside again when we walked past his house coming back from school. All I'm trying to get at is my dad did try to tell me after that eighth grade thing, he said, always stand up for yourself. But see, the trick was, is I've told my parents for years what was going on. And they just kept saying, look, you need to focus on your grades. Your grades aren't good. You need to do this. You need to. And I was trying to explain to them. But see, here it is years later. I have my own kids and I tell them, hey, if anybody ever touches you or does anything, then you should tell me because I will go to the school and I will advocate for you. No one's just going to get away with anything. And they both tell me no one's ever messed with them. And so here I have all this experience and stuff with something and it's gone away. So I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely a good thing. That
And my son is so funny because he said he only had one moment ever. And it's because a friend of his who's kind of a smaller guy was getting picked on. And so my son said he just stood up, turned around and looked. And at this point, I think he was 6'3". He's now over 6'4". But at this point, he was like 6'3". He just stood up and looked at everyone and said, why are you picking on my friend? And they just said, oh, we're not doing that. And they all like turned away and left him alone. My son is not a fighter. He just is like, I don't like what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He goes, I didn't have a plan. I just wanted to tell him to stop. I'm like, okay. I'm glad that they don't have to deal with what I dealt with. And I've since talked to my parents and, you know, my dad doesn't know what to say. He's like, Aaron, I worked long hours. I'm sorry I let you down or whatever. My mom is like, I just don't like violence. I don't have an answer for you, you know, but I'm sorry that, and I'm just like, I'm a parent. It's hard to be a parent. And I might identify the one thing that bothered me, but they probably had to deal with 1,000 things every week. So what I see as a major problem in my life when I was growing up that I'm now, you know, it's behind me, but like they had too much to deal with. They had six kids.
Did your siblings, did you have horrible fights amongst your brothers and sisters, or did you guys kind of get along?
Nah, there was the usual sibling stuff, but for them, I don't think any one of them was ever bullied at school. My older brother was just, he just kind of was there and maybe invisible or got along with everybody. And then my brother under me, he wouldn't have taken it if someone tried. He was smaller than me and he was much more aggressive. And if anybody said anything to him, I remember being in a situation where we had a car full of people jump out and chase my cousin and I and my brother. My brother didn't run. He turned and faced them. And I don't know how he didn't get beat up because these guys were wanting to beat us up because, I don't know, they had said something to us driving by and my brother said something back and they got in his face and he didn't budge. I'm talking about James, of course. Yeah. He didn't budge. He just yelled at them more and they ended up leaving. Meanwhile, my cousin and I are down the road.
Oh, no.
We took off. They tried chasing us, but yeah, they yelled at my brother a little bit before getting in the car and leaving, but for some reason they wanted to get my cousin and I. I think there's just something about us, you know? And for whatever reason, my brother just doesn't have any fear. He just yells at him back.
I could sit here and speculate all day on what causes somebody to be a target of bullying and harassment. You're different. You're not part of the clique or the group. And like you, I didn't play sports. And I ended up skateboarding and I joined all the other kids that were the skateboarders. And these were all the outcasts, all the losers in the school. Mm-hmm. We would get picked on, but it never lasted very long because we would stand up for each other. We had each other to fall back on. Honestly, Aaron, even to this day, I'm not into sports. And people are like, why don't you watch sports? And I'm like, because those are the guys that would try to beat the shit out of me in high school. They're just grown up now with a $1 million contract. I don't want to watch that. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, no, that's how I truly feel. Because there were times when we'd be skateboarding down the street, car or two load of the high school football players or whatever would jump out and attack us just because we had long hair, we were on our skateboards, whatever it was. But the difference between my situation and yours is I had backup. I had my friends and I had a skateboard and there's no such thing as a fair fight to me. And I would pop that skateboard into my hand and I would hit them as hard as I could with my skateboard because I'm just like, there's five of you and there's one of me. I'm going to defend myself. And I never had a problem standing up to bullies and being picked on because I guess it was just, I had that in me. I'm like, this isn't fair. You're going to come after me. I had an older sister that people respected and or were dating. My friend Will, he went by Bill at the time. His older brother was kind of feared. So we had protections in place because it'd be like, oh, don't mess with Bill or Justin because his sister's Megan and you touch him, Megan's going to come after you. You know, cause they were older and we went to high school. You know, I was like, you know, my sister was like a senior when I was like a sophomore. You had that older sibling respect and, you know, no one messed with the seniors and my sister was a senior. So it was like, don't mess with them because the senior will come down and lay down the law. So it sort of reminds me though of that story we like to tell about when we worked together at Stevenson's Apple Tree at that restaurant and the servers at that restaurant were just terrible. They were just terrible. And they would come back and yell at us and they would slam the tray of dirty dishes down and take their frustrations out on the dishwashers because we were the lowly peasants in the pecking order of that restaurant, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
When the server was being mean to us and I just looked at him and picked up a plate, dropped it on the floor, picked up another one. I mean, I know he wasn't specifically picking on you, but I made him go away I guess it was sort of a hostile manner, but it wasn't me fighting anyone. It was just, you're yelling at us, you're treating us poorly, and I will make you go away.
Yeah, he didn't care about our feelings, but he cared about those plates.
Yeah.
Because he needed them for the people who were going to give him his tips.
Yeah.
And if you ended up breaking multiple plates, he might have run out.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we had so many customers going in and out that there was constant cleaning to be done. And as you know, fried chicken doesn't just slide off those pans.
Yeah.
So what's a broken plate? But I told you, you were right. It was the only way it was going to get solved. I just couldn't come up with the answer. I can't always come up with answers. But you know, the thing that really helps me when I look back, I kind of went to college twice. I went to college after high school, and that wasn't very successful. It was very middling kind of grades and stuff. But then eventually my wife said, you should finish school because your work will pay for it. And I thought, you know what? I'll do it. I got excellent grades. So it was like, I was finally free of everything. And I didn't go to school worried about anything. I didn't think about it. I just focused on my studies. I ended up with a 3.6, which is pretty great when I graduated college, with my bachelor's. So that, you know, a lot of people say, well, do you use it? Well, no. But I think what it tells me is that I finally graduated from feeling like I used to feel. I'm a different person now. So it's still in my memory. I still think about it from time to time. Obviously, I'd ask my kids about, you know, did anything happen to them? But the takeaway is it's really important to listen to your kids. And if they're coming to you and you notice there's a behavioral change or a grades change, there's probably something you should deal with. And I know there's always a million things to juggle as a parent, but it's important. And I think if I had gotten better support back then, maybe something would have changed, because I do know that some of the parents of some of these bullies were pretty strict. And if they had been pulled into school because the school actually cared about what's happening to me, I think it would have stopped. But, you know, nothing was ever challenged, because as I found out in the elementary school with the nuns and in the high school with the priests, is this wasn't their problem. We needed to get our grades up. We needed to do better. And the behavioral stuff just didn't seem to be a concern, unless it was some sin on the Ten Commandments or something.
It's such a disconnect. You know, it's, oh, you're being bullied. Well, you just focus on your work. Stay out of the drama. And in today's world, when people are online and they're harassing you online, sending you terrible messages, posting terrible things about you, and then somebody's suggestion is, just turn your phone off. Just don't look at it. Like, just focus on your schoolwork.
Yeah, once they get in your head, though, it's really hard to get them out, even if you haven't heard from them in a while. It sticks around.
Yeah, and you know, that's fine. I'll turn my phone off, and now I won't talk to anybody. And now I'll be so self-isolated that nobody can get a hold of me. I mean, that's the solution to online harassment and bullying, just like it's the solution to just focus on your schoolwork. It's like, it's not an answer. It doesn't work that way. Just shows that, like, people they don't understand the full extent of it.
Yeah. If you haven't been through it, and I've actually met people who aren't bothered by what anyone tells them, you know, like my brother, we know a podcaster who he's had terrible things said about him and he does not care, you know, but not everyone's like that. And so I don't know. I think you can get out from the from underneath this stuff, but it does affect your life. And I hope everybody listening hasn't had to go through this, but I know there are people who've had it worse than me. I just had some bumps and bruises and scrapes and bruised ego pretty much every day of my life throughout school, but it does get better and things are way better now. You know, I have so many people I can just call up or write to, and especially just hearing from people that listen to our shows when they give us feedback. You know, I feel so much more love today than back when I was 8 or 12. But anyway, so hopefully let people know let Justin know if you've been bullied. If you've had a moment to speak with your bullies later in life, let them know that you didn't care for it, because there's something that feels good about that. knowing you can tell them, hey, I remember, even if you don't, or if you're pretending you don't.
And what are your feelings when you look these people up now online, when you see them living their lives?
Well, I think I found one of them, and he looks like he's very happy. I don't know how well he's doing, but he looks happy and he looks healthy. I feel fine. I mean, I had my moment with him. You know, I was able to stare him down and felt like he backed off of me. So I hope they're doing good. I hope their families, their friends, I hope they're having good lives, because I don't like the world being in, you know, especially the way it is now. Feels like there are a lot of problems. I don't like it that way. I wish we were doing better. I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan, but there is something nice about the idealism that the show tried to promote. But yeah, I wouldn't mind if things were better. So hopefully they're all doing well. Hopefully they have happy families and they're good for them.